but they are trying. And sure, there will be some sheeple that will go along with the lies. They didn't pay attention to us all these years, you know, or they thought they discounted us and thought we were, you know, crazy conspiracy nuts. Well, it turns out all our conspiracy things were true. They're all right, as usual. Everything that I've ever said is right and
that's
true.
That's right, Carrie.
I mean, all my whistleblowers have been telling the truth all these years. And so what do they do with us? We're an inconvenient truth right now. Because they want to have massage us out of history, because that would really suit their purposes. Then they don't have to pay for the number of people and whistleblowers they've killed. And we have a partial list on our older site, you know, projecthemlock.org. You can go to the top, you know, menu to find it, where we actually paid tribute to a lot of the people they killed. I mean, Tesla is just one of them. And he was... he was contacted by aliens. So, you know, the secrecy is long and deep, and it contains tons of dead bodies, and dead bodies of people that you don't even know were killed because of this secrecy, to maintain the facade, the secrecy. So that
the facade is going down. The facade is going down, and the dead will be vindicated.
Only you got to be real with yourself. Do you like your 0 point? Say, for instance, your name is Irish. Do you like Ireland? Now you've been there. You've visited. You've done rituals. You know, you've made communion with Ireland. Do you like it? Do you like the culture of it? Does this define you? See, when people saying they got problems with their life purpose and all of this and that, that's where you start. Does this define you? Does Ireland define you? The Switzerland, you have a Swiss name. The Switzerland define you. You say you have an American name. Is it really American? See, that's what I would tell an American. Not necessarily somebody that's Irish, but American. Is your name even, do you even have a name? Do you know what that is? Because if you have an American name, it's probably going to tie you more into Arabic. If you truly have one. So these are the things you must know. And then your social security number, see, this ties you into the cosmic play. This is what they use on a day-to-day level to visa you out. Because their goal is to visa you out. You know that, right? These group of beings, they want you dead. They incarnate you here to get your resources. Once they feel like they've extorted enough from you and exactivated enough resources for your body, they want you dead. They're programmed to do that. But it's programmed for you to survive, believe it or not, but you have to learn how to visa through numbers. And that's stuff that I teach too in my programs and classes. And you visa through numbers by first understanding your social security number and how to read it in a chronological order and finding out which bodies of land your social security number ties you into. See, having a social security number is not enough. Social security number ties you into bodies of land, land masses, water, things of that nature. You need to make communion with all of this. Do you like this shit that you tied in with? See, that's the homework that people don't want to do, you know. Like, anybody can sit here and be lazy, but this is our mission. I've done about 25% of the work so far just from doing this last voyage. And what happens is that it recycles every 25 days. You got to go back and update it, re-up. You have to know how to do readings. And this is worth billions of dollars. And they know it. The doctors know it. So they got all of you hooked up to a computer, a supercomputer, tied in with mercury, and they read you every day. And visa you and get money off of you. Pimp you, basically. High tech, though. You'll never be able to stop them. You can get mad, but that's not a remedy for this. That's not a defense. That's not a shield. See, you're also given a shield when you incarnated here, believe it or not. Your shield is what you create with your hands. Not with your mouth and lip service. It's okay to use this in relationship to your hands. You use your mouth in relationship to other body parts. Not alone, so. Just a little food for thought on my voyage. As always, keep studying. Never quit, never give up. Namaste.
Reaching immortalis. This is 8th degree. We don't have any time to waste. Time for us is very valuable. It's as valuable as gold or the highest things in this space. And so we've decided to take this time to enlighten ourselves about who we are. So let me finish the correlations. Idris. And I stop with Idris because, man, it's another story for later, but I had a real experience with this being in the physical plane, this green one, in this rug that mom gave me. And it was a prayer rug, but it didn't have most of the stuff that normal prayer rugs have on it, because, you know, they put the temple and everything like that. It was just a prayer rug, and it was an outline. And when you looked at it, it looked like a person, but it was like the archway of a temple. Right? But it was the archway, as you looked at it, was the outline of a something that either had wings or a cape. And through this process of consecration, and I was led back to this rug because it was one of the last things that remained in my closet as I was throwing everything that wasn't good for me away, like the Gucci shoes. Should have stuck with those Hermes.
No, you don't need those.
But as I was throwing everything away, this rug was left, and I was like, yeah, I need this rug, this prayer rug. And I will open this rug, and in the morning, the thing would come from the rug and explain all sorts of stuff. I kid you not. Like, I would tell you I eventually threw the rug away. I know y'all like, man, are you serious? It got to a point where when I had finally got out of all of that occultation and all of the mysticism, I just was like, I just had this day. You know how you have those days and you're just like, man, let me throw all this stuff away. And the rug went right out with it, with all of its power. I had this thing and I said, you know what? If it's really true, it will always be within. It doesn't have to be outside, because I did feel like that. I was starting to gather relics. And since I had just come out of gathering a bunch of weight and things, I was like, let me just get rid of all of this stuff. And so anyway, I got rid of the rug. But I'm just saying that these accounts are real accounts.
Nobody be.
Don't ever get into no
drink. Everything happening. Always was and ever shall be.
Not a good day if you ask me, but I'm willing to bear with it if I fucking know I'm getting some tomorrow.
I'm coming always, something.
Big this, no thing, I'm gonna rip it up.
That is what I know.
Sometimes I cry. child enough.
Anyway, I got rid of the rug, but I'm just saying that these accounts are real accounts. This green one is Hermes. This hermetic awareness or Thoth, it does come into the space. It is the word that does not come back void. It is Kundalini. It is real. And if you find yourself separated from it, it only means that you're separate from yourself. And the path, and this is why we're all on the path, is the journey back to self. This is what we're doing here. So I just want to make it very clear that I can't express to you enough in verbal. I have no reason to lie. I have way more wilder stuff that's happened beyond that, that I just, there's no place to mention. My only goal here is to let you know from this and what you feel expressed from me that this stuff is very real. But I've seen a lot of fake stuff, too. I've seen things that don't work. It's a lot of it. And I see why the process of unlocking this power is indeed a formula. It takes a different level of your own connection with self. Like, it takes your own personal initiation, how you relate to the mysteries, your own experiences. And the only thing that I'm here for is to confirm some things for you. So we have also Papa Legba ends up making the list. And finally, Hiram makes the list. All of those names have been completely researched to also be cognates of Mercury and Hermes. So now when you even see any of these stories, what you immediately see, even when you see, look at this, when you see Wooten sitting in that chair and the two dogs hunging and munging sitting next to him, that's the caudaceous staff once again, and Mercury is sitting in between. Okay? When you even see a practicing Orthodox Jew with the, you know, the thing on the side, the bangs, you ever want? I know you've wondered, like, what is that?
The curly
That's
burns.
The two twining serpents. And on the head is the phylactery, the square, or the cube, or the tetragrammaton. They're taking it that literal. And then they take the hand of the disagreeable, and they bind that hand down. And you can't touch anything with any of the hands because those are the snakes. They take a little thing and they touch everything with that in order to not defile it, because they work for Bulel. They're still asking Bulel. Do you see how this works? So it's a confusing thing for humans, because they're like, well, shoot, man, you know, what am I supposed to do? Should I go in this way or should I go that way? Because the original symbol of the Caduceus staff was just a Y. It was a budding Y. It was a tree that went up with two branches with roses coming out of one branch. This is why Moses' metaphorical staff is the budding staff, because that's the good tree. And when he casts his staff down to the other two serpents, so this is two serpents on the side and one in the middle, it swallows up the other ones, meaning all of the yin-yang forces, it makes one. So do you see, if you was just stuck watching Ben-Hur? And you're in Child and Heston over here, and you get that interpretation. This is why I'm still in the Matrix right now doing what I do, because that is not a way to explain to anyone the great mysteries. If anything, it's a way to mislead them. And because there's beings here that are seeming to mislead the beloved, now it's a showcase showdown.
Oh, yeah, the price is right.
Tricky hypnosis that
to try to pull on me down for so long, long time, man. Don't work on me, don't think it ever did. I was sure one extraordinarily perceptive, clever, and Miller kid.
Well, I know about Miller. Somebody to stop maybe doing this rabbity rock. You know what I mean, Jackson?
I gotta stop the kick. I know, y'all.
I'm doing some straight up rap call.
I know what that is, y'all. Rap call, man.
TV in 1994.
Oh, yeah, that was a good year for rap call.
Now there is a return of the Jedi, or a return of the Jedi, or the return of the Messiah. Okay? That is a return of Kundalini. So what we're waiting on is not something that is going to come from the sky. We're waiting on the activation to take place within. And these kind of conversations, because this is not the normal stuff, is a sign. It's not just, oh, well, Seven's the Messiah. James, Evans, Bomar, Jeb, the Lord of the Earth, Jakin, Eva, Boaz, three times. I'm a third, thrice great. I've been to this space with people calling me the same name, identifying me the same way. But what does all that mean? It means what everybody else is too. If you feel so special about it, great, feel special. That's the only thing the story is for, is to, if you hear your name as I keep going down the list, and that's what it takes to feel special, it still leaves the great work before you. When you start hating everybody and you're not liking what's going on around you, you are giving up on the change. You see, we're midstream. Bill Gates works for Bull L. They're
right.
Attempting to liquidate all of the souls as much as possible. And here are the last of the Jedi, for real. With the Caduceus staff, we're still trying to get it completely activated itself, which is basically trying to get humanity activated to realize who they are before they explode versus figure out how to implode first. And this is the race to the top. And nobody will win because it will reboot itself. Meaning that Bull-El won't win, Hermes won't win. It's not about who the winner is going to be. You got to center into this like, well, this is the module. This is the code. This is how this matrix works. You need to know as a magus how to manipulate and operate in the matrix. So that way you can plan your own course or your own path. I can't tell you what your course and your path is going to be. Behold, I saw the ladder going up and down. Even I myself have had to walk down the ladder, as we talk about avatars in the underworld. So just realize the level of power that you have. Now, just so we're covering this in order, so now you get why, again, that you have this ability, and this is what you call the dream, to be in between two worlds or oscillate into other worlds. This is another power that you have. And in this power, if you use it to your full potential, you could even conduct souls. Basically, even loved ones that passed on, you can take them through this door and put them into another space where things would be pleasant for them. You can lead them to another pasture. See, all of this metaphysical Messiah stuff is very real. But there have been few that have been able to unlock that power in this space. But that power is unlocked. So it means that in other spaces, like the astral plane, there are Jedis or Thoths or Hermes in the astral plane. That's why it's showing you. It's a psychopompous. It's what fills your mind when you feel like you become a genius. Right?
Right, 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 right.
right? The body is the bottle. The spirit inside is the genie, right? And it brings knowledge and wisdom and awareness, a genius, okay? So just understanding that the process of conducting souls is also one of the jobs on the astral plane if you are applying. The other thing is introducing departed souls to God, meaning that if you had the responsibility to say if a person's going to get another life or not, are you going to be a bull elf in them? Take them to the subjective plane to where they never get seen again. Put them in stasis. Freeze them. This is why they say bull elf is very similar to a cold god, right? The cold god is a god of ice. It freezes everything, so there is no time, okay? It is a frigid place, lifeless. They just mean, so when we describe this, it's like, whoa, shit, it must be evil. For us as warm mammals, you see what I mean? It's like, we're trying to hug up on something and get nurtured by something, and this thing is alone. This is, even as a description, it says that God, if you may, or this supreme being is alone, not having anything likened unto itself, which is why it went into that creative process. So this is also that part of you that feels lonely at times. See, I don't want you to go out too far and start thinking about external gods. This bull elf that I'm talking about, that's the bully inside of you that doesn't change. You notice how hard it is to change? Sometimes you're still doing the same damn thing and you're like, man, I'm stuck. That's bull elf. So you got to know when that energy is applicable, because I think there's one song that goes, hold on to God's changing, unchanging hand. And they'll be singing this in church. And I'm like, what the hell is a changing, unchanging hand? Like, and then I would look in the book to make sure that they were even saying it right. And sure enough, you know how they got that hymn book, God's unchanging, changing hand. Old Testament, that's bull elf, clearly. New Testament, that's Hermes. Old testicles, new testicles. This is the progeny or the genesis or the genealogies of the different variants of creation.
Yeah.
There were a lot of complex going on in old Western times. You had factories, not yet, but that was the good old days, boy. You really smelled the fresh air back then because there was no factories yet.
Right? So as we keep going, now we learn then that the metaphor then between Inky, which is the one who saves the humans, as the Sumerian story goes, right? Enki is Cain. This is why if you move Enki around as words, you can spell Cain in Sumerian. Enki is the one that comes in and pleads on behalf of the human beings, etc., that, hey, don't destroy them. This is another savior. Now, Cain is a smith. So in this case, as we talked about, this smithing is not about just what the money changers are doing with the metal right now and the techno gods are doing with the elements right now, building machines and external things. The two hammers that Cain had were actually his two wives, but that's another story. You can just see a hammer as a pentagram. A pentagram is a symbol of not just a human being, but a human with a womb. Okay? So you can see woman to be more closer to the pentagram because of the womb that she possesses in the external plane. Okay? Now, understanding that when we're coming out on this side, we're taking these different characters and roles. So you know you're both of them, but you're seeing everything externally, so you need to put all the pieces together again. So what it's saying is that these secrets of shaping, forming, and fashioning and changing things can only be done with a hammer of light, a light hammer. And a light hammer is what woman has inside of her stomach. So sure, man needs to be there for sure because he has the other side of it. He has to strike. Man, there it is. I'm gone, man. Look, it's the anvil, which they always say is symbolic to the woman. The anvil, right? That's the thing that bing, 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 right? That stable foundational ground, right? And then what's hammering, right? That is a phallic gesture, okay? So when they're saying Cain is smithing, and you see Cain in there, you know, they keep showing you this man in there, the bearded man in the workshop, beating this sword together, because that's what they've been using alchemy for, making weapons, making money. But what alchemy really was is those two pentagrams that Cain had, those light hammers, which were those wounds, which created all of the human beings that came after that. And the way in which those humans were created, it was done with alchemy. Like, let's mix this with that. Let's put these two together. You see what I mean? So as we keep going, we find then that there is that form of the use of the creative component, but there's also this external use of the creative component, which we've talked about, and that's related to commerce and money, okay? Because we see now that clearly God has become money, and the God of money has been stamped correctly because change, it has to come. And what this was symbolic to is that when commerce first began, it was because there was a monopoly on how everything worked. This is very, I need you to be very clear on this because this is already written down. You'll find it in Wikipedia that even in times before money started, there was already some kind of rulership happening, especially from the kings and queens of those times. And that rulership was like, almost like from on, what they would say is from on high. Okay? Like, meaning this was like, these beings were controlling from a space that we didn't even have access to, passing down decrees and laws of what should be done on earth. So symbolically, when money comes in, money comes in because people start to agree that they're going to use another form of determining what is what and how much something costs. Basically, they're going to take energy into their own hands. Do you understand?
Nope.
So before energy, I'm going to keep going then. Before energy is all being run, like kind of like what you see with oligarchic families. They run all of the money, right? Do you get that, right? So in the oligarchy, they run all the money.
I get that, but you don't got to say understand. Come on. Hey.
And they control everything through the money. But think about that on a higher level, because you got to be able to zoom in and lens back in. When there was no money, because this is another replica, that's Bull L again. But it's like, as I said, the dollar is the daddy and the coin is the son. But it's like, once again, you got to keep breaking down or using that same template to determine what is going on. So in this case, when there was no money, there was going to be no change because people didn't have anything to change with. They had laws that came down to them from on high about what they were supposed to do with what they received. And this is where tithing came in and all that. You're going to give this to the crown. You're going to give this. This is where taxation or air taxes, this is where all of that came from. It came from the Bull L. The Pope was also doing that. He was passing down decrees to charge everybody and then using Knights Templars to enforce that. Okay? So what I'm getting at here is that You gotta keep realizing how the story keeps unfolding, how, because this is how energy moves.
Oh, that's Savon James Beaumont moving that energy around. His channel is called Understanding. So now I get it why you gotta say that word. But why are you afraid to say understand? Because you don't stand under and that's putting you under some kind of curse, right? But it's also just like a thing. Look, come on, I get it. Hey man, you listen to Space Plane, CKUT 90.3 on 2 A.
Make a people smile.